Proverbs 31, I'll read verses 28 through 31. Proverbs 31, 28 to 31. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. You may be seated. Let's pray together as we come to this portion of Holy Scripture. Let's pray. Our Father, we do ask for your grace and your help as we come to this portion of Scripture. Please help my voice to have the strength I need to preach, and may your people be blessed in the hearing of your truth. Thank you for this picture of a godly wife, mother, and homemaker in the Proverbs 31 woman, and we pray that the ladies here would seek to imitate her, and we pray for the men that they would praise the women, especially their wives, that they see them walking in these ways. Help us hear your word in faith and love and with a desire to obey. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been in a series in Proverbs for a long time, and this is the last sermon in the book of Proverbs. We've been on the Proverbs 31 woman for a little bit of time. This is the fifth sermon in that series, walking through these verses in Proverbs 31, 10 through 31, seeking to look at what God calls a virtuous wife. The chapter or the section begins by saying, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. So this section of Scripture, verses 10 to 31, is an explanation of what it means from God's point of view to be a virtuous wife. What does it mean for a woman to be truly virtuous? This woman, as we've seen in this chapter, is a wife, a mother, a homemaker, a woman that even brought in some side income, and a woman of godly character. We've seen, as we've walked through this section, we've seen a virtuous wife is a treasure. She's trustworthy. She's thoughtful. A virtuous wife is studious. She's strong. She's sympathetic. A virtuous wife is resourceful. She's respectable. A virtuous wife is worry-free. She's wise. And she's watchful. This is what a virtuous wife is. We've seen this is the type of woman that God calls beautiful and virtuous. We've also seen, I think it's important to note, that this woman isn't necessarily doing all these things at the same time. It's a snapshot of the entirety of her life, but it's a snapshot of what a godly woman cares about. And what we've seen, the focus in this section is a godly woman is focused on loving her husband, loving her children, and keeping her home. Those are the three primary things that a godly woman focuses on. She wants to love her husband well, she wants to love her children well, and she wants to, as this chapter says, watch over the ways of her household. That's in verse 27. That's what a godly woman is to be given to. A godly woman is to be given to those things. The world is calling women to so many things. God calls women to primarily three things, that they're wives and mothers. And that's to be a good wife, a good mother, and watch over the household. These are the things that God calls beautiful. These are the things that God calls virtuous. And these are the things that God wants women who love him to give themselves to. We now see in these verses, I just have one main point, and then the first point, or the only point, is the same point as the main point, is a virtuous wife is praiseworthy. A virtuous wife is praiseworthy. So that's the first and only point. A virtuous wife, and I'm getting that language again from verse 10, who can find a virtuous wife? A virtuous wife is praiseworthy. Is praiseworthy. We see in verse 28, after explaining all these things of what it means for a virtuous wife to be virtuous, we could say after verse 10, 11 through 27 are descriptions of what a virtuous wife is and does. Now we see the praise that rightly should go to that type of woman. The praise that should go to a woman who is truly virtuous in God's sight. We see in verse 28, first, her children. Her children rise up and call her blessed or blessed. Her children rise up and call her blessed. First and foremost, her children, as they acknowledge and they see all that their mom does to care for them, to feed them, to clothe them, to bathe them, to make sure they're nurtured and cared for and loved, as they grow older, they rise up and they call their mom blessed. Rising up here is the description of a child standing up to say something important. The child stands up because he has something important to say. And in summary, what he says about his mom is she's a blessed woman. She is a wonderful mom. And I am blessed because she's blessed because she's such a great mother. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Godly children want to praise their mother and call them blessed. And so you can't talk about this in the sermon without talking to young people and saying to them, when's the last time you've risen up or thanked your mom, praised your mom, blessed your mom, said something kind to your mom of all that she does for you? Because children are commanded, as we see here by example, to rise up and bless their mother, to call their mother blessed. And so the children of this mother rise up. They want to say something very important. And that very important thing is we are blessed and our mother is blessed. Her children rise up and call her blessed. What they're doing here is praising her. They're praising their mother for her godly virtue. They're so thankful that they have a mother like they do. They're so thankful that God has given them this type of mother, who's a mother of godly virtue. And if you're a lady who is a mother, this is the type of woman you want to be. You want to be a woman where your children, by the grace of God, can with a good conscience praise you because of all the good you do for them, because you love them, you nurture them, you care for them. They know you're there for them. A godly mother wants her children to rise up and call her blessed. She wants her children to be able to be thankful for what she does. So we first see her children, but second, not only do her children praise her, her husband joins in. It says her husband also, and he praises her. When this man sees all that his wife is doing, he sees how she is caring for the home, caring for him, caring for the children, cooking and doing all these things. He can't help but rise up himself and praise his wife. This godly man who has a godly wife, he praises his wife for all the good she does. He's so thankful for the godly wife he has, and he doesn't just think it, he says it. He doesn't just ponder it, he actually expresses it. Because sometimes this can happen for men. Maybe they think in their mind a lot of things they're thankful for, but this man expresses it out of his mouth and praises his wife. And so husbands, we should be men who praise our wives, thankful for what they do. Thank them for the things they're doing. Thanking them for what they're doing in the home. Thankful for the way they're caring for us. Thankful for the way, if you have children, how they care for your children. Husbands should be praising their wives. It is God's will for you, if you're a husband, to praise your wife, to thank her, to be grateful for her. Because you know what? If your wife is home most of the day or all the day caring for the home, you know what she doesn't get a lot of? Thanks. If she was out in a secular job in the world, she might get more thanks. But if you have chosen by God's grace to have your wife home, to care for your children, to love your family, to watch over the household, you know who she needs to be thanked by? Because she's not going to get a lot? You as her husband. Because she needs to see that you prioritize her being home, that you want her to be home, and you are thankful for all she does for the home. Because the world says it's meaningless, but godly men see it as valuable. And so this husband, who is a godly man by everything we can see, he praises his wife for all the good she does. So husbands, when's the last time you publicly praised your wife, thanked her, been grateful? Not just in prayers privately or in your own mind, but verbally told her how thankful you are that you're married to her, how thankful you are for all she does for you. I mean, think about it. If a woman, all the things that she does in the home are priceless, and what you would, if you had to pay for all those things, would be a lot of money. But those things you almost can't put a price on because it's a wife and a mother's touch. And this godly husband praises his wife for her virtues, for who she is. So children, young people in the home, praise your mothers. That's God's will for you, to thank them. You shouldn't just assume that, oh, food gets here just because it does, or my laundry gets done, or this gets done. Praise your mother. Thank her. Be grateful to her. Don't take things for granted in the home. And husbands, the same way. Let us be men who praise our wives, who thank them, who are grateful, who are praising them for their virtue. Because you know what? All of us like to be thanked. And you know a good way to, this is why I think that one of the reasons why the Bible says he who loves his wife loves himself. Because a husband who is very thankful, grateful, and expressing that, you know what it does? It makes the wife want to do more. Because she realizes her husband isn't taking it for granted. Because he who loves his wife loves himself. And so it's a beautiful thing when a husband is seeking to please his wife, it also blesses him. When he seeks to do good for his wife, it also blesses him. And husbands should be men who praise their wives. Husbands should be men who desire their wives to feel built up, encouraged, and edified, that what they're doing is important and meaningful and a blessing. And this, this husband goes on to say, and in verse 29 says, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. I was listening to a sermon by a pastor I like listening to. If you want a good pastor to listen to, this is just a free note, but Pastor Rob Ventura, excellent expositor, very good preacher. So if you want, if you're looking for good preachers to listen to, Pastor Rob Ventura. But I was listening to him yesterday expositing this text, and he said, well, modern wisdom tells men not to compare their wives to other women. That's what modern wisdom tells us, and wisdom in now. And there's probably a lot of truth to that. It's probably not good to compare your wife to someone else. But here we see, it's interesting, this man compares his wife, but in a positive sense. He says, many daughters have done well. There are good women out there, but you excel them all. You're better than all of them. So he compares his wife, but in a positive sense. He says, you're better than all of them. Compared to these other women, they're good and all, but you're the top. You excel them all. It's interesting, or it's a little bit interesting, or I'm trying to think of the right, not confusing, but to know what exactly he means by many daughters. There could be different views. He could just mean there are many women out there in the world, many virtuous women, many virtuous wives, but you're the cream of the crop. You're the top of the top. He could mean that. He could mean actual daughters. This seems to be the view that possibly Matthew Henry holds. Matthew Henry says this, quote, many daughters in their father's house and in the single state have done virtuously, but a good wife, if she be virtuous, excels them all and does more good in her place than they can do in theirs. Or as some explain it, a man can have his house so well kept by good daughters, a man cannot have his house so well kept by good daughters as by a good wife, end quote. So it could be that. It could be that it's a blessing to have daughters and the daughters in the home have done well in their father's house, but it doesn't compare to having the wife. Whatever he's doing exactly here, we know he's doing this. He's trying to say, my wife, his wife, is the top of the top. She excels them all. She is the best. And so we see this man praises his wife, whether saying other women, there's many virtuous women, but you excel them all, or it's a blessing to have daughters and they've done well in the home, but you're better than the daughters in that sense. It's better, more valuable to have you than daughters. Whatever he's saying, he's getting at the fact of how great it is to have his virtuous wife. So men are to praise their wives. It's very interesting because when we see this word praise, it can almost seem blasphemous if it was in the Bible. We sometimes think we should only praise God. But here it says the husband praises his wife. So it cannot be wrong if the Bible tells us in a positive example that a husband praises his wife. Ultimately, he knows that his wife is what she is by the grace of God. She is what she is because of the strength of Christ. But he shouldn't not praise her, even though he knows that. And some people could say, well, if I praise my wife or if I praise this person, they might become puffed up. Well, my beloved brethren, you let God deal with them and you seek to do what God commands you to do. And God commands husbands to praise their wives, to celebrate their wives, to rejoice in their wives. This is the command of Scripture. If you look at Proverbs chapter 5, Proverbs 5, and I'm just going to look at verse 18, as we see about the call to rejoice in our wives, that husbands are to rejoice in their wives. Proverbs 5 and verse 18, it says, "Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth." So husbands are to rejoice with the wife of their youth. This is in the context of sexual intimacy, but it can be more broadly applied that men are to rejoice with the wife that God has given to them. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. So husbands, you know something you can do just from this sermon is be more practical to praise your wives. If you don't get anything else from this sermon, don't do it because of the sermon. Don't do it in a flattery way, because that would be sinful. But do it in sincerity, thanking your wife for what she does for you, praising her because of her virtue, her character, her love, and her service to you. And now verse 30, we see charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. Back to Proverbs 31. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, or beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So we see here that charm is deceitful. Beauty is passing. What this isn't saying is that charm and beauty are wrong in themselves. But if you have someone who's charming and beautiful and they don't fear the Lord, it can be very deceitful. And beauty is vain. It's passing away. It's fleeting. And therefore, it's explaining that if a man seeks to pursue a woman because she's charming and beautiful, but she doesn't love God, she doesn't fear God, she doesn't honor God, it's going to be deceitful and vain. It's not going to be good for that man. Because it's fine, again, for a woman to be charming, to be beautiful. But it is wrong if she is charming and beautiful without a care for God. Without a care for God. But it's the woman who fears Jehovah. She shall be praised. That's the woman who will be praised. Not the woman who has charm or beauty, but the woman who fears the living and true God. That's the one who will be praised. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing. If you have a woman who is charming and beautiful and also fears the Lord, great. Nothing wrong with that. So I don't want you to hear these verses and say charm and beauty are wrong. Because we even see in the Bible, if you read through your Bible, there are times actually, it's very interesting when you see this, it talks about certain women and says they were very beautiful to behold. They were very attractive women. So the Bible even comments on this. So beauty is not wrong. Charm is not wrong. But it is when it's lacking the fear of the Lord. So that's what we see here. But many men, sadly in our culture, sadly in the world, wow, pushing through. You have a cough drop. Thank you, my love.
Praising you.
Thank you. Many men in our culture, in our world, what they're consumed about is charm. The woman's charming, therefore I want to be with her. Probably more than that is beauty. That they are overcome by a woman's beauty, and they don't think about her character, they don't think about her virtue, they don't think of who she is as a person. All they think is she's charming and she's beautiful. That's all they care about. But the Bible says that a lovely woman or a beautiful woman who lacks discretion, who is without virtue, is like a gold ring in a pig's snout. It might look good, but really it becomes disgusting. Because charm and beauty without the fear of the Lord are not good. They're not beneficial. And so we see the warning of what men should seek. Not charm, not beauty, but a woman who fears the Lord. Of course, a man should be attracted to his wife. He should think she's beautiful, but that should not be the ultimate motivation of why he wants to marry that woman. And so we see this reality. Why is a woman to be praised? Not because of her charm, not because of her beauty, but because she fears the Lord. She has a desire to serve and honor and glorify him. And in that, she's praiseworthy. And then we see lastly in verse 31, it says, give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. In light of who this woman is, in light of her relationship with God, her fear of God, her virtuous character, because of all of this, the exhortation is, give her of the fruit of her hands. So the things that she has done, she is to be recompensed for those things. She is to be rewarded because of all her good. And then it says, and let her own works praise her in the gates. The gates would be the places where people came for commerce and business and all those different things. And even in that place, she was to be praised and celebrated because of her virtuous character, because she was a godly woman. This woman loved the Lord, served her family, and therefore she was to be praised and honored even publicly in the gates. And so as we've seen in this section of scripture and in the Proverbs 31 woman in general, what God values in a virtuous wife is very different than what the world values in a virtuous woman. The world values things like promiscuity, outward beauty, charm. God values a woman who will do her husband good, a woman that wants to be a faithful wife, a faithful mother, and watch over the ways of the household. The view of womanhood in the world is very different than the Proverbs 31 woman. The view of what God calls virtuous and praiseworthy is very different than what God calls virtuous and praiseworthy in Proverbs 31. This is what God calls praiseworthy. So whenever you think as a woman, what is God's desire for me as a woman? You should think, what does God value in this woman? Because this is what a virtuous wife is. But as I've tried to show week after week, as we've been in this, as we've gone through, that ultimately any virtue that's in this Proverbs 31 woman is most clearly seen in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sweetheart, can you give me a paper towel, please? Is most clearly seen in the Lord Jesus Christ. So any virtue that we've seen in this woman is most clearly seen in Christ. He's the one who ultimately is praiseworthy. Any virtue we've seen in this woman is ultimately perfectly seen in Christ. He's the one who's ultimately praiseworthy. He's the one who excels them all. He is the one who was not marked by outward beauty or outward charm, but what made Jesus so attractive to people? Because he feared the Lord and he spoke with authority. Jesus was the ultimate one who was marked not by what man thought, but what God thought. He was the one who ultimately every one of his people will rise up at the last day and call him blessed. And every single person, even the reprobate, will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He is the one who ultimately feared the Lord day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, and his life was marked by living in the fear of the Lord, and therefore he above everyone else shall be praised. And he is the one that by his suffering and death brought about his people. And therefore, on the last day, when he has brought many sons to glory, he will receive the fruit of his hands. He will receive the reward of his sufferings. And he will forever and ever and ever be praised in the gates as we celebrate. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. The Lord Jesus Christ is the ultimate one who's praiseworthy. And anytime we praise a human person, anytime we praise a wife, we are ultimately looking past the wife to Christ, who is ultimately one that works in her to will and to do for his good pleasure, and the one who is ultimately praiseworthy because from our Father in Christ, every good and perfect gift comes. And so anything good seen in this woman is most clearly seen in Jesus Christ. He is the one that's praiseworthy above them all. And the only reason why this person or any wife would be praiseworthy is because she's being conformed to that truly beautiful image, to that truly virtuous image, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that we have a perfect Savior in Christ, and that we have one who, when we look to, we see no defect, but only things to praise. Christ is the all in all. He is the all in all. And therefore, when we see virtue in others, it should point us past them to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the Proverbs 31 woman is a woman showing the virtue of womanhood. But if read rightly, the whole Bible should be read with Christ as the focus, knowing that Christ is truly the virtuous one. Christ is truly the one who is far above rubies. He is ultimately the one that we can safely trust in. He's ultimately the one that does us good and not evil all the days of our life. He's ultimately the one who watches over the ways of his household. He's ultimately the one who is strength and honor is his clothing. And he is the one who rejoiced for the suffering that was before him. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And so this woman is praiseworthy insofar as she reflected her Savior who was yet to come, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you're here without Christ, the only way that you can reflect a virtuous image, whether as a man or as a woman, the only way you can truly do that is by being in Christ, by repentance and faith. Only in Christ can someone live a virtuous life as God wants them. They can only be a virtuous wife, a mother, a son, a daughter, a husband, a father, if they are in Christ. Only in Christ can someone live that way. And if you're a believer and you're a child, you live with your parents, do you thank your moms? Do you praise your moms? Do you thank them for the care and the love that they give you? Do you honor them and respect them and speak well of them before them? And to others. It's God's will that you praise your mothers. That you would rise up and call them blessed. It's God's will that you love them and cherish them. And not don't take them for granted. But be thankful for what they do for you. And as husbands, do you praise your wives? Do your children hear you praise your wives? Do others hear you praise your wives? Do you praise them of their virtue, their piety, their love for Christ, their love for you, the love for their children? It's a good thing. It's a required thing for husbands to praise their wives. And so if you haven't been doing it, my dear brother, it's so important that you do. Because just like you, many people thrive on encouragement. Encouragement is not flattery. Flattery is puffing someone else with selfish motives. Encouragement is to build them up and strengthen them, to motivate them more and more. And God wants husbands to praise their wives. And ladies, as you think about this chapter is not meant to overwhelm you. This chapter is not meant to burden you. This chapter is not to make you feel guilty. Where you fall short, run to Christ, who is a perfect Savior, who washes you clean. This chapter is not make you feel how terrible you are. This chapter is supposed, one, to show you the virtue of Christ, and also show you the hope of being a virtuous wife and mother in Him. This woman is not superwoman. She was a godly woman who feared Jehovah and walked in His ways. And by His grace, you can more and more and more walk in the ways that are depicted here. By His grace and for His glory. And so the ways, ultimately it begins as this chapter ends, the second to last verse, because you fear the Lord. Why would a woman love her husband, love her children, and want to keep the home? Because she fears the Lord. She fears Jehovah. She fears the true and living God. And everything else flows from that because she is a believer and she fears God. She wants to live a life pleasing to Him. And so this should be your desire, that more and more you should want to do your husband good and not evil all the days of your life. Doing him good, blessing him, serving him, loving him, caring for him, so that you can be a woman that is truly praiseworthy according to this text. This is what God wants for ladies, to be women of virtue. More and more as our society lacks virtuous women, we have many women that are not virtuous, not godly, not God-fearing. You can be such a wonderful blessing to this world where they see something different, where they see a woman who is not like the world, not pursuing the ways of the world, but pursuing Christ because you fear the Lord and therefore you're pursuing being a virtuous woman. What a wonderful thing to have more and more virtuous women because of God's grace. May God help all of us to be faithful to Him and seek to honor Him as He's given us His word, so that as children you would praise your mothers, as husbands you would praise your wives, and ladies, you would seek more and more to be that good, virtuous wife, mother, for the glory of God and for the good of your families. Amen. Our Father, we do thank You for Your word. Thank You for this time, and we pray You would bless it to us. Help us all to be faithful to what Your word commands and demands of us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.